Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You got a busy day, mostly because we're going to give you a chance to win some things. We got 2 pairs of Freak Fest tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to the Cougs Texas Tech game this Saturday, and also we got a prize that just came in yesterday. If you like some sci-fi, you like a movie, we got a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to go watch Tron, Ares, the new Tron movie. So a lot to do. Of course, we will sprinkle in certainly some the sports of the day, the conversations of the day surrounding sports. So we'll do that as well. But just be aware, if you don't win anything from us just because you're unlucky, you got plenty of chances on this show today. I will let you know, if you have won once in the last 30 days, you cannot win. That's just how it goes. I have a count, or at least a kind of like a database of all the people who've won, just because I keep track of that stuff. So, just to be clear, if you haven't won, this is your opportunity. All right, now that that's out of the way, we're gonna play a game of was Dana Brown convincing? Dana Brown spoke to the media yesterday. It was him and Joe Espada. Joe Espada in a suit's always a little disconcerting to me because I just imagine his whole life he's in Astros gear. Just every time I see him,
he should have to be in uniform. Yeah. For the like press conference
at home. Fine, wear whatever you want.
I mean, whatever you do in your home.
Yes, I have no interest, honestly.
But if you're speaking publicly, you need to be wearing a cap and an Astros uniform.
I don't hold him to wearing a cap, but I need Astros gear on him. But he was in a suit because it was the State of the Union for the Astros, and it was Dana Brown and Joe Espada sitting right next to each other. And the question. The big question beyond what they're going to do in the soft season, like Dana Brown says, they're in the market for a pitcher, possibly a trade, and a left-handed bat, something they were in the market for during or right around the trade deadline. They got the bat. Jesus Sanchez, didn't work out. They were in line to go get a pitcher, but the asking price was too high, so they're going to go back to that well in the offseason. But what about their status? What about the status of those two guys? Are they coming back? Are they guys who are days away from being unemployed? Certainly the reporters asked the questions. Here's Dana Brown on his status, and then he got asked about Joe Espada as well.
So I don't want to talk about my contract, right now. But I will tell you that I am the GM of the Astros. So.
Can you give assurances that will be the case going forward?
As I said, I'm the GM of the Astros, and that's what I would expect to be tomorrow, okay. the next day.
Okay, Matt.
Look, I mean, I made it very clear that, look, Joe is the manager, and Joe's under contract.
So beyond speculating on potential replacements, at least when, in regards to his own status, I don't think he's gotten word that there's some extension in his future. It didn't sound like that. He didn't want to talk about it. Understood. It's not something you want to publicly discuss. But it does sound like, whether the Astros have had a conversation with him or not, that they have not at least seriously broached getting him an extension. I'm sure Bob Nightingale would have already dug that up at some point. He seems to be the guy for that type of information. So remember, we talked about it earlier in the week that Nightingale had the report that while Brown's particular status isn't tenuous, that connotation actually more belongs to Joe Espada as far as who's coming back and who isn't. So I don't think either one of those two, if we go by the reporting and even how he answered those questions, are currently set in stone as far as being a part of the Astros in the future. Look, we're just a couple of days after the season is over. We had the first games of the playoffs yesterday, some exciting stuff. But I think we are at a point where maybe the guys who determine the status of those two individuals haven't made their decision yet. And maybe it's one of those things like in college football where they're looking out at the market and if they feel like there's an upgrade, they'll make an upgrade. But if there isn't one, they'll just stick with the status quo, because ain't nothing worse than firing your coach and thinking you got real hope for change. And then you whiff again. And then you wind up with insert failed college coach who wasn't the first option. Well, trust us. If you've rooted for a college football program who hasn't had a lot of success, you have gone through a coaching search. And then when your first option's off the board, you'll be told he was never an option, but you know better. And then you wound up with a guy you think is going to fail. Sometimes those work out. Sometimes they don't. I imagine the Astros don't want to be involved in an actual coaching or manager search or GM search. They like to have that all buttoned up if they are in the mood to make a change. So I think unless they get the right answer about upgrades, we're sticking. Like they have that in their back pocket just waiting to make the move. I think they're sticking with Espada and Dana Brown. I don't think they want to be out there naked looking for guys after they've already released the other two guys. So we'll see. So Dana Brown spoke. If he continues to be the general manager, he set out what he's looking for.
He also, if he's the general manager past
the next couple of days.
Today, the next day.
He didn't say next season.
Yeah, he
did say just.
He didn't even say Saturday.
Yeah, he didn't say maybe there'll be a little conversation, a meeting about the future. We'll see. Now that is me with the reckless speculation.
Yes,
but just going by his words
and just making fun of the way he explained that.
Yeah, it didn't. If you were a Dana Brown backer, or maybe you had a bet on Dana Brown returning, I'm sure there's a place that has it. Possibly. I don't know that you felt more confident about your choice of him coming back in 2026 after hearing what he said.
Yeah.
I don't. Maybe he doesn't know if that's set in stone yet. So he did what he could to not say, I don't know, man. Maybe. So
beats me.
Yeah.
You tell me, Chandler.
Yeah.
Am I going to be the?
You want to dig up some information? I'd love to know. I haven't gotten word yet. So that's where we are. Some uncertainty coming out of that presser. But if he has his wish, he'll be back in. And Espada certainly probably feels the same way. They talk quite a bit about injuries and how that affected the team and their approach at the trade deadline. If that was getting them some criticism, they kind of explain how they went about trying to better the team. And at the time when they made those trades, I think for the most part, unless you were desperate, and it turns out rightfully so for them to get a starting pitcher, I think the Astros pretty much got commended. Of course, the Correa stuff is going to transcend any actual logic baseball-wise. You're just going to love that Correa's back, and certainly he was good as an Astro. So I don't think the Astros failed at the trade deadline. They certainly needed another pitcher considering how things turned out, at least starting pitcher, how things turned out. But once they were relatively healthy as far as their lineup was concerned, that lineup didn't come through. So they bolstered the lineup. They got healthy. For the most part, sure, Paredes fought his way back, but I'm not even including that last weekend or so, and we know Yordan got hurt. But at times they were as healthy as could be, as they could be, considering the seriousness of the Paredes injury. And there were series where they just did not show up. So injuries were certainly a part of the equation, and it will be part of the story. But I think not being able to show up when it mattered, particularly against bad baseball teams. Like, yeah, your lineup is underwhelming in certain games and over the course of a series, but you're facing these really bad baseball teams who handled you. We don't need to do that part of the eulogy, because we were doing that in real time. So we heard Correa apologize to the fans, and he spoke to how things will be much better because people will be healthy. Got to hope so, and we'll see who's in charge of that if there are changes to be made. All right, so we will hear from the Texans and DeMeco Ryans. He had a mic'd up moment talking about one of their unheralded players. We'll get to that. We got what you would consider good news regarding the game this Sunday, because we know that the Ravens are banged up, but there's more definitive word on Lamar Jackson. And it'll be real starting today, because guys got to practice, and the expectation is he won't. We'll tell you kind of how long he may be out, and if he'll miss the game against the Texans. We also have to applaud the Texans defense, because there's a stat out that's, I think, when it comes to breaking down how good defenses are, one of the more on-point stats. Because when you look at total points scored, if there's a punt return, that goes against how people judge a defense. If there's a kick, if there's a fumble return, a pick six, all that goes into points allowed when the defense had nothing to do with it. So there's a stat where the Texans lead. We'll give you that when we come back. We'll talk plenty of Texans, and we'll do one of our giveaways since we have so many. We'll do that when we come back. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Open to anything, as we didn't have a local team as far as a game to talk about, and that's just how it's going to be without the Astros in the playoffs. But there was – I did catch a bit of the American League playoffs. As par for the course, I didn't watch National League baseball. What am I? What am I, a savage watching National League baseball? I watched the real ones, the American League baseball, and we had two exciting finishes, and Bregman played his part in that. So we'll get to that at some point as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Before we get to the Texans, let's do this. The original Greek Festival is back. It starts tomorrow and goes through Saturday at the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Montrose. They're going to have authentic Greek food, wine, folk dancing, and music, crafts, and gifts. You can bring the whole family, and there'll be plenty of fun and activities for all. So it starts tomorrow, goes through Saturday at the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Montrose. Visit GreekFestival.org for details. So caller 2 right now, 713-780-3776. If you want to go to Greek Fest and enjoy all the food and music and everything else they provide, be caller 2, 713-780-3776. We'll do some coup tickets later and more Greek Fest as well. So caller 2, 713-780-3776. All right, let's get to the Texans. So it's about that time in the week where the mic'd up stuff from the weekend comes out. And you're going to notice something, a prevailing thing for the Texans since they released Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And DeMeco hit on it in the mic'd up as the Texans made a big fourth down stop. Here is DeMeco Ryans on a play that Tommy Togiai made.
Fourth throwing, and the ball is tipped and incomplete.
Great job! Great job!
Tommy Togiai getting a paw on it.
Great job, boy!
That's why we want Tommy in. He's just going to do it right, man. Every time. Fourth down, big play. Just by doing your job, man. Love it.
Third down.
They're apparently, we wouldn't know it because they don't give up points. as illustrated by the no points given up to the Titans, that the Texans had noticed some of their leakiness came from guys not doing their job. And, of course, the guy who was at the forefront of that, they released in Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But even last year, while they were a good defense, there were big plays available for teams to make. That started very early in the year. Some of the plays were made by the opposing team. Some weren't. So I don't know if this is all about last year or just all about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but him praising Tommy Togiai for simply doing his job and that leading to success, it's a point of emphasis for them. And you want to play for the Texans right now? No freelancing. Of course, no defense wants that, but they're trying to carve that out of their team, particularly on defense. And look, as I said going into the break, the defense is playing well, even with the first three games maybe having a guy or two not doing what they want. Here are the leaders as far as points per drive. And that's why I said I think this is a pretty good stat as opposed to just total points given up, because you can't account for maybe a turnover in your territory leading the points when your defense had little to do with what happened, because your offense set them up in a bad spot. But points per drive, the Texans are at the top with 1.21, and then you got the Seahawks, the Broncos, the Vikings, and then the Jags and the 49ers are tied for fifth. But the difference between the Texans at one and two, the difference between the Texans at one and between the Texans at one and two, the Seahawks, is a larger gap than 2-5. So they have been really dominant when it comes to their defense. And as I said, a lot has to do with the fact that they got to shut out the Titans, but they did a good job against the Rams. Only gave up those two scores, of course. Unfortunately, their offense couldn't score touchdowns, and the Rams did against the Bucks. Yes, they gave up that final drive, and they were bad early, giving up the two touchdowns. But, of course, when you talk about almost the entirety of the game, they didn't allow another point. And then the Jags. That's a very good defensive effort. But once again, and that was thanks to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and it's a reason why he's no longer on the team, they did give up a final drive score that was the deciding factor. But your Texans defensively are doing it better than anyone on a per drive basis. So they got an opportunity this week to likely play Cooper Rush. That's the reporting. Lamar Jackson is going to miss the next 2 to 3 weeks. For us, it only matters about Sunday. It was the Baltimore Sun, I believe, who put it out. Some other outlets grabbed onto it. We haven't seen one of the big news breakers confirm that. I think we'll get a confirmation a little bit later today when the Ravens step on the field if Lamar Jackson is out there. So while we had a good, probably, let's say, 12 to 18 hours of questioning Lamar Jackson whether he quit on this team, if he misses the next 3 weeks because he has a hamstring injury, maybe apology should be made by people.
That's a long con.
It's
to make it look good.
Once you set yourself up to look like a quitter, then you have to double down on the lie.
Yeah.
And maybe put your team in a position where they don't make the playoffs. But to make yourself not look bad,
yep,
you sit out 3 weeks. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting theory.
I mean, if you are going to be selfish, be extra selfish.
Hey. Yeah, I was selfish in the moment, but now I got to be really selfish.
Yeah, now to make to it get look my like way I'm out of this, yeah. I get to be more selfish.
Yes, yes.
And also, playing the Texans.
You think Cooper Rush can handle this one?
I actually don't.
No. Cooper Rush has won a couple games as a replacement quarterback with the Cowboys.
I should say that I don't think he will. I think he can.
I don't think he will. At least he shouldn't. Look, considering what's around him, if the Ravens were at full strength other than Lamar Jackson,
yeah, okay. Yeah, it's the defense being hurt, too.
It's how bad the defense is. And hurt. They're bad and hurt. And they were bad before they were officially hurt. Now they're bad and hurt. Madubuike's out for the season. I don't know if Kyle Van Noy is going to play. He didn't play last week. They've got other guys they've put on IR. We'll see the statuses of Wiggins, who got banged up.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the corners got hurt. Didn't Humphrey also get hurt?
Humphrey's got banged up as well. So we'll see the status of their two starting corners going into the week. like I said, practice today. If they're limited, they're not practicing. We'll see what John Harbaugh has to say. And speaking of John Harbaugh, before we go to break, we'll get to some sound, and we can determine if this was disrespectful or not about the Texans. Look, the Ravens, we know. The Texans are their get-right game. If, even though they haven't really needed them, they've been good, and that's why they beat up on the Texans. But this is the time if we're going to get them, even with all the past history, this would be the game to do it. It's a Cooper Rush game, it looks like. It's a game against a unit as banged up as maybe any unit is going to be this early in the season. So if you ain't going to win today, or excuse me, on Sunday, when are you going to win? John Harbaugh was asked about the upcoming matchup, and this is what he had to say.
The Texans game on Sunday, be at home, and we're going to look at all the things we need to do to be the best we can be in that game. And there's a lot of factors, a lot of things we're dealing with, for sure, like a lot of teams are, I'm sure. But that'll be our opportunity to get going and get our momentum going a little bit, and that's a really good team. I've just been watching them on tape. The Texans defense is playing at a high, high level. Very aggressive, very fast, very well coached. A lot of good players, a lot of good pass rushers, good coverage guys, playing good football. Then offensively, obviously, young quarterback, working to find their way in a little bit, running the ball, good backs, trying to play complementary football with their defense. So that's what we're looking at right now.
I didn't sense a lot of disrespect.
No, I think you just pull out the phrase, it's an opportunity for us to get right, or opportunity for us to whatever, however
you put it. I think that just
means
the next opportunity is the best opportunity.
I think
that's
just
all that
means
is.
Every game's an opportunity.
Yeah, I think that just means, hey, it's a chance to go.
Because then he talked for 40 minutes
about how good they are. Yeah, that first part, he led with, and if you are looking for someone to be disrespectful, I get what it is. Oh, you think you're going to get right against us? Well,
We'll see about that, John.
They want to get the bad taste out of their mouth. So now it's their time to do it, and the Texans are just the next opportunity.
And then when he complimented every level of the defense, and then when he was like, in on offense, they have a young quarterback, I was like, oof, that's the best team.
Dan Campbell Dan Campbell do something similar?
Didn't he call him like a good kid something?
A little player, I think.
Good little quarterback.
Yeah, good little quarterback, I think. Or was it player? Maybe. I forgot.
Or nice little quarterback.
It was something that we drilled down on.
That was a little out of order.
Yeah, you didn't like it. This doesn't reach to that level.
No.
Yes.
So. He even lied and said that they play complimentary football. don't really.
You know, people will pull that out. It's very inside, so I won't even reference it. It's something that won't mean anything to anyone else. But the complimentary football thing is another way to say.
They played that yesterday, or Sunday in the second half, kind of.
In the fourth quarter they did? But that's complimentary football. Just because you can't score and your defense
is
good doesn't mean you're playing complimentary football. Three and outs aren't complimentary to your defense. You know, running the football and not scoring isn't complimentary. Defense would like you to score.
Not scoring in the red zone, I would say, not complimentary football.
No.
Just in general.
Being 0-for-4 before last week.
And cashing in touchdowns.
Yeah, not complimentary. But that all changed in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Red-hot Houston Texans.
In the last quarter of football, they scored 3 touchdowns. They're unstoppable.
They're
outscoring the last quarter of football,
21-0.
Yeah, what are you talking
about?
What's John Harbaugh talking about? Chance to get right? F out of here! You're not going to get right against us.
They're on pace to score 12 touchdowns in this game.
Go by their fourth quarter pace against the Titans,
all right,
they're going
84 points on the menu.
And while 84 is a lot,
it is so many.
That's a lot.
I was doing the math and I was like, oh my god.
I mean. With a different opponent, do I not think that the Ravens can give up half of that, at least in a football game, how they're playing defense right now? I don't know that the Texans are capable of getting there, but I could see it. The Bills got to 40, right?
Who's the best?
The Lions got to 38 or something.
Lions got to 38. Did they get to 40?
Did the Lions they might have gotten 40 to 40. And the Chiefs got to 30-plus as well.
Yeah, for the first time all season.
Thanks.
First time in a while, actually. Yeah, they scored 30.
Yeah, it'll be a real test to see if the Chiefs are fixed or the Ravens are just cooked defensively. We will see on that.
Because there's a little bit of like, hey, they got Worthy back. So like, there's a little bit of like, oh, maybe they're a little bit better. And then also they got to have batting practice against
BP against the Ravens on Sunday. So
it was
who knows?
A rehab assignment for Xavier Worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire it was It was offensive rehab for the Chiefs against the Ravens.
Maybe the Texans can get some of that.
We can only hope. We will see. This is where we go. The Ravens are a proud franchise.
They are.
They're going to find and dig deep to find a way
they're
to
gonna
get
have,
stops.
Haloti Ngata out there for, I don't know, whatever the pregame hype
thing
is. They're going
to pull him out of mothballs to hype
up. Remind us of the kind of football we used to play. I think they already had Ray Lewis out there for
probably.
A game,
I mean, Cooper Rush is probably better than Trent Dilfer if we go that far back. But there's no one on the defense to match up with what happened back in 2000.
No, so it's not, name not a guy on that. The 2000s Ravens. They don't have that guy.
I mean, they have pretty good corners if they're healthy. But even still, there's nothing like what everyone saw in that year. So,
Maybe Kyle Hamilton could have played. He could have played on those teams. Now, he's not taking Ed Reed's spot.
Well, that team didn't have Ed Reed in that year. He was still in college in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2000. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't get to the pros until 2002. So maybe Kyle Hamilton could have played.
He could have. Actually,
he
definitely
probably would have. Yeah, he's Kyle Hamilton.
Even though he was like 1 year old.
Although, how good can he be if he's on this defense? These are the questions. Yeah, Roquan Smith ain't playing as well.
Oh, I mean, that's a little bit is. The position battle?
I mean Sunday.
Oh.
As we talk about the challenges the Texans are going to face. Yeah. Roquan Smith ain't going to play either.
There's no one on the name a Raven. They're hurt. I mean, other than Kyle Hamilton, I think.
We may.
They're all hurt.
Yeah, we may see some of their top line secondary players play. And he is getting to the Ravens. Kyle Hamilton called the fans spoiled for their reaction to what's going on because of how successful they've been regular season wise. He didn't say that. I said that.
Oh, okay.
The regular season part.
I would not like that if I was a Ravens fan.
He didn't add that editorializing. He said, this is what he said. Whatever Zach Orr is getting, I don't know. I feel like sometimes Raven fans can be a little spoiled with just the amount of success the franchise has had. We lose five games and the world is about to end. Well, you've only lost three so far.
Yeah, well, he's counting the next. There's two games without Lamar. All right, just count those.
Kyle Hamilton, a realist. he's got the next two.
That's the Notre Dame education. He knows the probabilities.
Yeah, they have the Texans, and then they have
they could really
the Rams.
Use a bye week. Oh, no, that's – I mean, this is the best shot against the Texans.
Yeah, and then they have their bye week, and then they see the Bears. So
great time for a bye week. Actually, this week would be time for a bye week.
But we're glad they're as banged up as they can be, and we'll see if the Texans can take advantage of that. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We still do have those giveaways to get to. One more Greek Festival giveaway. We got Cougs Texas Tech tickets giveaway. And also, if you want to go see Tron, Ares, the newest addition in that movie franchise, we'll give you a chance to win that as well. So me and Sean, till noon, we will be back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Best way to watch some postseason baseball is, get involved on Prize Picks and maybe you make a little bit of money. I was very close to making money that Jabroni, who was crying before the game for the Cubs, cost me because he couldn't strike out for San Diego Padres. But that's all right. That's all right. I still feel like for game one of the postseason, it was a good outing by me, not for that fraud, Matt Boyd. So retaliatory-wise, I'm going with the San Diego Padre. I'm going with Manny Machado to have more than 1.5 hits, runs, RBI in today's game against the Cubs. Again, this is just retaliatory for how yesterday's Cubs starter treated me. Alex Bregman, someone I played yesterday, and he hit his projection. So playing him again against the Yankees. Yankees give me more than half a total base, so a single, a hit of any kind. Alex Bregman cashes that for you against the Yankees tonight in Yankee Stadium. And last but not least, let me go with Dodgers and Cincinnati. I'm going to go with Zach Little and Yamamoto to give up less than one run in the first inning. Shohei Ohtani hit a solo home run in the first inning. It not happened again, Shohei, or anyone on the Reds. You're also not scoring the first inning. Whatever you want, you can do it on Prize Picks. There's already the football line, projections up for Sunday's game, for Thursday's game, for Saturday's game. Whatever you want, it's on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get a $50 lineups or $50 worth of lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that credit. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back to the show. We did play Rocket Sound yesterday. We may get to the Amen Thompson sound here where he's... Did we get to the one where he said he's confident in the shot? I don't remember. I got two shows to worry about. So some things we don't play, some things we do play. I don't remember. But we heard from Kevin Durant. Really, if you were just online, he talked about wanting to sign an extension in Houston. He doesn't know when they'll do it, when that'll get done, but he expects it to happen. He also mentioned how one of the reasons why he chose Houston, because it felt like home. He likes the people, has some connections here. And apparently, he's so familiar with the area that he's planning barbecue dates. And that's fine, right? Kevin Durant, we don't know that much about his personal life. And that will probably tell us that probably a single man, like, we don't know. I don't know that Kevin Durant has kids or whatever. But what I do know is he doesn't care that we're all watching while he's, let's just say, flirting. At least it feels like flirting with Kay Adams. So this is Kay Adams with Kevin Durant, and they're talking about a misconnection from when he was injured on a previous team and how they're trying to set up, I don't know, a friendly outing when she comes down to Houston. Here's Kevin Durant on Up and Adams with Kay Adams.
And then if you come down to Houston, which I'm expecting you to come to a game.
Mm-mm. I came to a game and you did not even – you wouldn't even –
I was hurt.
You literally would not even like wait.
You came to a game. You came
come
to
out.
A game.
You didn't come out and say like, "Hey."
You came to a game and was, and I had to find out the next week on your show that you were at my game, which is crazy.
Kevin, I think I literally told you I was at the game.
No, you did.
See you tonight.
But it's all good. That's old news.
No, I literally said, "See you tonight."
We're moving on to the next season, and I'll see you at one of these games in Houston.
Which game?
We're going for barbecue. Down to Texas when you get out here, all right?
What's the spot? What feels like home so far? I heard you say it feels like home. Why does it feel like home?
Because it's Texas. And it's just Southern hospitality. It's just Texas. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see once you get out here. I ain't going to keep telling you. You're just going to have to immerse yourself in the culture when you get down here, all right?
I feel like fool me once, fool me twice.
Wow. All right, bye, Kim.
You know what this sounds like? It sounds like from some teen high school movie where the star player meets some girl who's like the nerdy girl at a library or something, and he has to convince her that he's a good guy. So he invites her to a game. She shows up, and you know, there's a miss. That's the energy I'm feeling from this conversation. It's straight out of Degrassi or something, or name an American version of Degrassi or whatever. That's what it feels like, guys. We can all hear you. What's going on here? Look, I assume it's very innocent, but it's got the vibe of it's just I think flat out flirting.
Yeah.
Feels like to me.
Yeah, people don't do this when they're on with Jeff Teague.
Yeah. The Club 520 podcast doesn't have that type of energy. No. Yeah. Yeah. Look, I don't know if that's a shot that was being shot, but whatever. I just want to point out we can all hear you when you do this. What's going on here? I hope they have great barbecue. And Kevin Durant, while we talked about yesterday how Texas feels like home, he's not doing a very good job explaining why Texas feels like home
feels
to him.
Like home. Southern hospitality.
I generally attach Southern hospitality to more the southeastern part of the country. I don't know if it's usually just called Texas hospitality or whatever. He has said the whole Texas, I like it. I don't know why he likes it, though. He hasn't been great at explaining it, but it doesn't matter. He's a Rocket. It's not home.
He lived here.
How long did he live here?
6 months, 18 years
ago. Did he buy? Did we know that he had a Texas home?
He's a private guy. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know anything. Like I said, to start this, we don't know much about Kevin Durant.
I don't know
about
his real estate holdings.
Yeah, but I do know that he and Kay Adams have an energy of back in high school.
Yeah, it's a little different than when, you know, I'm sure Brian Windhorst talks to him at Media Day.
Don't think he's going, hey, Brian, come down for some barbecue. Yeah. This time.
I missed you last time.
Yeah. This time we are.
Wave at you.
She was about to say it. She got cut off. You didn't even wave at me. If that ain't anything like something you heard in high school, I don't know what is. You didn't even wave at me.
Yeah.
I was there and you didn't even acknowledge me.
Yeah. I think Jalen Green and Tim McMahon had a similar interaction. Uh-huh.
I don't think Jalen Green and Gambo, the Phoenix Sun insider, are going to have anything like this when they talk during the season. Yeah, Gambo, I thought you were going to come to the game. I invited you to the game. All right, man. Do what you got to do. Like we talked about it during the break. It's very Taylor Rooks-like, except that the guys are always the one, the star players are always the one putting out the energy. Like Jaylen Brown said, I'm going to win like seven, eight titles.
Seven titles in the next 5 years.
Because he was sitting next to her having a conversation. They're the ones who get shook. There's a back and forth there.
Yeah.
I don't know what that energy is about, but you heard it. Everyone heard it. We will see if those two meet up for great barbecue. Are they going to Killens? Where are they going for barbecue?
Damaris, probably. Yep, just focus on
Damaris. Hope he takes her to Rudy's or something.
They'll be like, who's that loud guy at the other table?
It's John yelling at Yanni.
Yeah.
Not even looking at Kevin Durant sitting down with Kay Adams. Just screaming at Yanni.
Yeah. No. Kevin Durant. Let's focus on the Oklahoma City Thunder in like 20 days.
To be fair to him, it's in 20 days.
No,
he's got plenty of time.
Got a lock in.
Okay. Hopefully those two people can finally connect.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, I see you. You want to talk some Dak and Lamar. So we'll get to that when we come back. But before we go to break, I'm going to give you guys a chance to win something right now. Caller 4 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the Cougs game against Texas Tech. It's the undefeated Cougs versus undefeated Texas Tech. Tech, kind of the front runner right now to get to the playoff from the Big 12. The Cougs can change that this weekend. So if you want to go to the game, wear your Houston Blue. They're going to be wearing those great uniforms, those Houston Blue uniforms. So if you want your chance to win, 713-780-3776, caller 4 right now to the show. And as I said the last couple of days, we're going to have Cougar tickets throughout the week. So if you don't win today, we'll give away some tickets tomorrow and Friday as well. So it is family weekend. Bring your crew. Fill that stadium at TDECU Stadium and wear that Houston Blue. Help keep that Coug win streak alive and protect the Cougs house. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a Houston Cougar football game. Tickets are going fast. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. If you don't win them from us, I just gave you a way to get them from the Cougs themselves. 713-GO-COUGS or houstoncougars.com/tickets. We'll be back with Eric. And you, if you want to follow him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about a couple quarterbacks who are generally a main topic on ESPN's First Take or Get Up, but we can talk about him here. Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. All these clowns saying that Lamar's better than Dak. If you put Dak on those Baltimore Ravens teams that Lamar has, he would have won already 2 Super Bowls, at least. Lamar wouldn't even see playoffs with the Cowboys roster by the cast. So that was the corniest call between Kay and Kevin Durant. But I guess there's guys that like girls that look like 14-year-old girls like Kay Adams does. I'll hang up and listen.
Woof. It's rough. Look, I've never seen Kay Adams in person. I've only seen her in her home or on NFL Network at points. So I can't speak to her appeal because it's just me watching her on the screen. But people like her, Eric. It's beyond Kevin Durant. I can tell by the comments. People do like her.
He said there's a certain type of people that would like her.
Yeah, he didn't seem very complimentary of those people when he said it. One of those people is Lance, by the way. So I get insulting those people because I would insult Lance too for different reasons, though. But yeah, I'm not surprised that Kevin Durant may or may not. Maybe he's doing it for the clicks too. Maybe he's just doing it to be a showman as well. Whatever.
She looks good for 39.
Wow. What? You're a bad person.
I'm just surprised that she's 39.
You believe she? You wouldn't have.
You
thought
told
she
me
was
like
39.
33.
Well, Sean Mapes. She looks at least 6 years younger.
Yeah.
Credit to Kay Adams. You surprised Sean Mapes.
Yeah. All right.
All right. You go look at that.
Good.
Sean,
good for you.
Sean Mapes, impressed. He's like, yeah, Kay's really taking care of herself.
Yeah.
But as far as your other assertion that no one should be comparing Lamar to Dak and Dak would have won a Super Bowl and Lamar wouldn't have, I don't know that to be the case. Lamar is an MVP. He was an MVP before Derrick Henry got there. In fact, he has not won the MVP with Derrick Henry on his roster. Of course, it's only been now a season plus, and he had a great season last year, and this show believes he should have won it. It was just the narrative that it was Josh Allen's time. I think they're both in the same category, where they're really good players, while Lamar's a better player. They don't have enough postseason success for me to be pitting them against each other. For what? For who? For what? Lamar has made an AFC title game, didn't win it. Dak has yet to do that. Oh, well. I would agree that the Ravens are better built than the Cowboys because the Cowboys are built by Jerry Jones. So I will give you that. Lamar has been on better teams, but I don't know that Dak would have been better in the playoffs. Like, Lamar had to go through, for the most part, sure, it was that one Tannehill year when they had Derrick Henry, the Titans. That's not a good look when you're the one seed. But I can't defend that at all.
Was that his first playoff game?
No, because I
think they made it as rookie.
He came in for Flacco in his rookie season, and they lost to the Chargers at
That's
home.
Right.
Philip
but that
Rivers.
Was his first MVP year, was the Titans.
Yes, loss. And the Titans beat them. I can't excuse that. That's a Tannehill Titans joint. There's no excuse for that.
Derrick Henry.
But as I said, yeah, Derrick Henry's on that team. I think Derrick Henry might have thrown a touchdown pass in that game, if I remember correctly.
I think he did.
But, you know, you lose to the Chiefs at home in the AFC title game when your receiver doesn't hold on to the ball going into the end zone. Yes, he threw a pick late. Also, last year, he was not safe with the football early, but he was good enough late if Mark Andrews could hold on to a football fumble-wise, and then dropping a 2-point conversion where that game is going to us overtime if Mark Andrews does what we expect him to do. So, yeah, there are failures, but I'm not giving you that. I'm not guaranteeing Dak is winning Super Bowls with the Ravens. Dak ain't been to an NFC title game yet. And, yeah, he's had the Packers in front of him and the 49ers. We all have challenges in life, Eric. But you just don't get to come on here and say that.
I give you a little bit more credit for losing to Buffalo, Kansas City, Buffalo, at Buffalo, home Kansas City at Buffalo in the playoffs.
Losing to the
Niners,
a couple
and the
Packers
every
teams
year.
At home, yeah.
Losing by 40 to them.
Yeah, you got blown out by the Packers. The Jordan Love-led Packers. Look, the Aaron Rodgers play where he rolls to his left and throws a dime to the tight end on the sideline, look. That ain't Dak. Dak was great in that game. I can't put that on him. But the 49er loss at home and then going to San Francisco and losing, nah, we're not. No, cut it out, Eric. I know you're a Cowboy fan, but at some point, let's have the ability to properly evaluate your team and your favorite player. You want to come on here and rip Lamar? I respect it because our show's kind of about that. But when you throw in the Dak part of it, nah, cut it out.
That's when you lost.
You cross the line. You go too far.
You know, ask Cooper Rush. Who's Cooper Rush think is better?
That's what we do.
He's the most qualified guy.
Cooper Rush doesn't seem like a guy who would stream, but if we ever got him on a Twitch, and when he's going, hey,
Kurt Hours.
Hey, chat, you got a question for me? If I was ever low enough in life to be on a Cooper Rush stream,
oh God,
that's the question I would ask. Who's better, Dak or Lamar? And of course, Cooper Rush ain't answering that question. He's too smart. He's one of the smarter people to ever play in the NFL. He's not going to answer that question, but he was a little dumber. If we can get him to answer that question, that's who I would ask. But I'm not taking you at your word, Eric. Your word's crap. It means nothing here. But we appreciate the call.
I would have gone for like a George Pickens, you know. Is he a number one receiver?
After what he did on Sunday night. You want to have that conversation?
It's not just about the quarterbacks, dude.
Yeah. But he doesn't like Dak to be disrespected, I guess. We didn't disrespect him.
No.
You must have been watching First Take and decided to call in. All right, we'll go to break with that. And we'll get into hour two. We still have a Greek Fest giveaway to get you, and also a chance to watch Tron Ares for free. We'll do that in our second hour. Sean and I, till noon, we'll be back.